On today's episode of the Hitmen Podcast, it's a target practice interview with Cassie Bradley from the NFL. We talk about how she got her start coming up working in sports, her perspective on women working in sports, and the challenges that they face on the everyday level. We also get off into some real cool aspects of her history, including playing a national anthem at NBA games, and we go one-on-one about her sneaker collection. Hope y'all enjoy this one. Here come the MVP. Check it out. Taping this Saturday, 5:36 o'clock Chicago time. I've been trying to get this young lady on the show for forever. She's busy. I've been slacking on my Mac and simping on my pimping, but I finally got her pegged down. I can't wait for this interview to come out. I want to welcome to the show Miss Cassie Bradley. She's the female Renaissance woman. And we're going to get into the interview right now. Cassie, how you feeling?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm better than I deserve. I'm very happy to have you on the show. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for turning up with me. How you feeling? You good? Everything smooth out there in LA?
It is. I'm good. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm jealous of the weather. Beyond that, everything is smooth. So for the audience, man, just real quick, give us a little bit of background. What's going on with you right now, and what's your background in sports?
Yeah, love sports since I was a kid, right? Who didn't growing up in Chicago, especially with the Bulls winning like 6 rings, right?
Boom, boom.
Hard not to be a fan. So I was always on the forefront. If I, you know, the NBA wasn't around until maybe I was like 10 years old. WNBA, I should say.
Right.
So I always wanted to be in the NBA. But just like others, my hoop dreams didn't always work out, but I always wanted to work for a professional sports team. I pretty much was either in band or basketball or some kind of sports growing up, right? That was what I was doing, music or sports. So I just made it a profession by the grace of God, you know. Growing up, I was always playing. I ended up going to school for music and sports management.
Shout out Whitney Young. What up?
Woo-woo, should have been a Dolphin. I eventually, you know, I did a few internships like here and there. But eventually, you know, landed a role with the Bulls, you know, dream job during the D-Rose era, right? Got to see a lot of things with the team. But I always said if I had to live in another city other than Chicago, I wanted to be L.A. And that position that I had with the Bulls was temporary, so eventually had to look for a new role. I had a few other jobs here and there, but then eventually landed one with the Lakers. Another dream job, right? Was there for about 2.5 years and then eventually came over to SoFi Stadium where I'm at now. So obviously the pandemic kind of halted us opening, but we're looking forward to it this upcoming season.
For sure. I had a chance to check out SoFi for one of our Monday night football games, coincidentally, this past season. It was the Rams and Bears. And beyond Dallas, SoFi is probably number one right now. It's probably the most technological. I can't even get it out. It's so dope. It's the dopest stadium. It looks like something out of the future, man.
It is awesome. We have like all these club spaces and then the scoreboard itself alone is just like next
ridiculous
level. But the field, no, it's amazing. You can't even describe it. I just have to tell people to come down. You'll see for yourself.
Yeah. And it's out in Inglewood. That whole complex is starting to come together. It's right over by the old LA Forum. I don't know if Ballmer is still trying to get a Clippers arena over there instead of still in Staples?
Pretty much, I think they are set to go. I just think the digging doesn't start yet. You have to do paperwork and things like that. But yeah, they're pretty much, that's like underway.
Crazy, crazy. And then the whole situation with LA probably being one of the names to have the Olympics coming back up soon. They're going to have stuff open in that area as well.
Yeah, 2028 Olympics is going to be here, but it's going to be everywhere, not just like opening, closing ceremonies at SoFi Stadium or like archery. It's going to be all over. So different arenas will have different like competitions, things like that.
Got you, got you. Quick question, mm-hmm. though. Tell me from your perspective, even just being at SoFi, how has it been moving and shaking with the pandemic? Sports has kind of been turned on its ear. Speaking from personal experience, I have to test for COVID 2, 3, sometimes 4 times a week just to do my mm-hmm. job on a regular basis. Whether it's traveling in and out of town or even as so much as a press conference, the dynamics of that are changing now with NBA players doing Zoom meetings only. There's no real in-person interviews. Tell me from mm-hmm. your perspective, how has the pandemic affected how you move in the sports realm and how it affects your job?
Man, I mean, we were blessed enough to be able to work from home. So that's awesome, like, in the sense that, you know, I'm not necessarily interacting too much with people outside of, like, you know, virtual meetings or phone appointments, et cetera. So from that aspect, it definitely affects us. I mean, you always miss the interaction you have with people. That's, like, our number one thing is sure. entertainment, right? Entertainment with people. So my job is to interact with people. So I do miss that in the presence, but just like everyone else, we just had to adapt, you know? So we just interacted via phone, you know, Zoom meetings like others. But since everything is starting to open back up, you know, all over, that interaction is coming back. I believe Staples Center, you know, just opened not too long ago, obviously. Yeah, we're set to hopefully open in September. I think Goodell announced that they're expecting all NFL arenas to be open. So not even necessarily speaking on behalf of the team, but just the commissioner itself announced it. So we're all ecstatic, right? Everybody in sports is just happy to get back to normal. And now I think they just made like vaccinations available, for everyone. So it's just a matter of time before we can all get over that hump or get the herd immunity, as they call it.
Yeah. I hate that term. Don't no Johnson mm-hmm. and Johnson. If you got Johnson and Johnson, you better sell your stock quick. let me ask you this though. So you've been working in the sports industry for call it what, the last 6 years, 7 years, something like that?
Oh man, yeah. Professional sports, yeah, since about 2013.
Okay. And since 2000, I started in 2014, so around the same time.
Yeah, same time.
So you've been in live events, you've been to some of the greatest sports, I guess, events of this last decade. Give me the number one, what's the livest event that you've been in person to? Before you go, let me give you mine. I'll give you mine. So I've done Super Bowls. I've done NBA Finals. I've done World Series. I was here when the Cubs won the World Series in 2016. The livest, most electric event I've ever been to in my, call it 7 years now working in sports, was National Championship 2017, Alabama and Clemson in Tampa when Deshaun Watson won the championship. And I've probably done 4 or 5 national championships. That was the most electric event I've ever been to in my life, not even just my adult life, in my life, period. Concerts, anything included, because the rabid fan bases, the energy in that stadium, just the electricity behind it, it was crazy just to be there. And it would be as if you and I were standing right next to each other, and I wouldn't be able to hear you if I was having a conversation with you. That's how loud it was in that arena. And it was outdoors. I could see if it was in a dome or something like that, but it was outdoors. That's how dope it was. So to that effect, or to that point, what's the livest event you feel like you've ever been to?
Honestly, I would have to say before I started working with the Bulls, I actually worked at Super Bowl in New Orleans. And for me, I would have to say that's the livest one, because that was surreal to be able to say I was working a Super Bowl, you know?
Was that the one where the lights went out?
I never thought that would happen. Exactly. I was going to say that's the one where the lights went out with Beyonce. That was hilarious. That's exactly what happened. And pretty much the liveest one, I just remember being there, everything from listening to like Alicia Keys warm up, mm-hmm. like just aspects of it that you've never even seen on TV. You know, a kid from the outside of Chicago being able to say they were working the Super Bowl, you know, I think the, once you get something like that, it's kind of irreplaceable. Now, obviously, if I eventually win a championship someplace, that may replace it. But I think that just in all experience, like come in, that was pretty much like my last year in grad school for my program, my sports management program. Just to say that I did that before I even landed like a permanent job, I think that's always going to be forever like a surreal experience in my head, like kind of like your favorite birthday party or something, you know, and not to mention like my first time in New Orleans too, right? So just going around the whole Mardi Gras. That was like right around Mardi Gras time.
Talk about it. Did you get some hand grenades? You got some fish balls in your system?
Yeah, I got a couple.
Yeah, New Orleans is one of my favorite cities. Mm-hmm. For a quick little second, I actually contemplated moving there, but that was a vain thing because mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going for the food. I'm going for the... Bro, I couldn't. I wouldn't mm-hmm. be able to last. I wouldn't be able to last. But I love New Orleans, though. I love New Orleans. Shout out to Drago's. Shout out to Drago's. I love Drago's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was a really good time. I think I just can't replace it. I've been a ton of Bulls games. Obviously, it's great when you see Derrick Rose. At the time, it was like him, Noah. Even with LeBron, watching him at the Lakers. But to me, like, this that Super Bowl, it only comes once a year, you know? It's not like even a championship series. So for me, that was a big one.
In the past 2 years, as far as sports in L.A. is concerned, L.A. has kind of been a lightning rod for monumental happenings in our realm. On the good side and the bad side, you've been able to witness some of the great things, the Lakers winning the championship, obviously in the bubble, but also some really tragic things. In the past 2 years, we've lost Nipsey Hussle and Kobe Bryant. Talk about the atmosphere or the feeling after those two things happened back to back in the city of LA. How did it affect, you know, the team culture or just the organizational culture from your standpoint?
I mean, it was definitely a sad moment. You know, like, you have to realize, like, this person was there for years, right? That was the only team I ever played for. A lot of people don't do that. They move around from team to team. This is one of the last few players that actually stayed with the organization his entire career. So he was family, and he was family to everyone, you know, like, so it was just sad. In even if you never worked there, I mean, just his impact to the culture of basketball, the sport alone, like, he affected so many people. Like, nobody wanted to believe that, you know? So it was definitely sad. It was definitely heartbreaking, but I will say that, the fan base for the Lakers out here is crazy, to say the least, right? Yeah. Like, it's definitely a family, and everybody pulled together. And you can see evidence of that with, like, the murals that were painted, the ceremonies that they had for him. Like, it was sad, but it did cause people to come together and be even more of a tight-knit community. But Laker Nation is nothing to play with.
I didn't take it seriously.
It is a strong fan base. It is a huge, strong fan base. I mean, I thought I'd seen some, like, Bulls fans, but, you know, here when you come into games, they don't just have, like, the jerseys on. You know, they got the earrings. They got the jewelry. Everything you could think of Lakers, they have it on.
To this day!
Even if it doesn't. Exactly. Sure. Like, Laker Nation is nothing to play with. So it was definitely a sad moment, but it brought everyone together, community-wise. And we love Kobe, right? Who doesn't have a Kobe poster on my wall? And always love the hate. That was probably my favorite moment from him. And I cherish it. Like, I have, even my screensaver is Kobe. Wow. Right? And then people from Chicago would be like, Cassie, really? Like, but no, like, when you come out here, you understand it, you know? And it has his top 10 rules for success. And it's literally on my phone. Because, you know, you learn to love some players and you hate them because they're so good and they're, like, on the opposing team.
Yeah.
But Kobe taught everybody that, like, you know, obviously life isn't guaranteed. So to live your best, right, the Mamba way every day. So I just, you know, I cherish that and I keep them with me all the time.
I said it on a previous episode. I was down in Miami working, preparing for the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and 49ers. And we were all in the media room when we got the news. And I dropped whatever it was in my hand. I don't even remember, but I put my hands on top of my head because everyone was in shock. We were in the middle of monitoring the Pro Bowl when the news came out. And we were trying to get confirmation from the Associated Press because it didn't seem real. You know what I mean? It's one of those, where were you?
Never.
When you heard the news, or where were you when this happened? And after the Super Bowl was all over with, a couple of days later, I was in my bathroom and I just broke down crying. And I was in shock because I didn't find myself ever really connecting with Kobe like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost like, damn, man, I saw myself in that, or I saw someone I cared about in that. Like, I can't believe this person went out like that when they stood for what they stood for. They lived their life the right way. They, you know, and he had a redemption story. You know, everybody knows Kobe's, you know, history and the trials that he went through. But for him to have the success and to be grounded and still be inspiring the way he was, it really resonated with me. And conversations since then have always been, well, Kobe, even though it hasn't been that long, it appears as if Kobe is being much more appreciated now than when he was with us. You know what I mean? And so just to hear you say that, it connects us. And, you know, this is an interview, but he was an inspiration to the both of us. And we're in two different time zones. You know what I mean? We're in two different cities. So it just speaks to the type of person he was, the type of competitor he was. And I know if it means that much to you and I, just think about what it means to Los Angeles, to people that live in Los Angeles, or even up and down the state of California. Kobe was an icon, you know what I mean? So I appreciate you sharing that with us. Let me transition real quick. I want to get your perspective on females in sports. But before we get to that, little known fact about you, you got a little bit of a musical talent in you. I caught a quick clip of you on Empire. funny thing is, my brother was actually a stand-in for Terrence Howard for Lucius Lyon, man.
Oh, nice.
So, but I didn't realize that you play music and you're actually into more than just sports entertainment. You're an entertainer as well. So talk a little bit about that and your background, if you can.
Yeah, no worries. Like, as I mentioned before, like, that was always my thing. If I wasn't going to, like, sports, like, basketball or swimming, I was going to, like, band, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I started the clarinet when I was in, like, fourth grade. and I just kept going. I did that throughout high school, picked up piano, probably, like, seventh, eighth grade. And then I actually got my bachelor's degree in music.
Wow.
So Bachelor of Arts in Music, yeah. And then I loved it, definitely did, but... You know, my friends would always joke with me, like, you always going to intramurals, or you always going to the rec to play this. Like, you really love sports. Like, why are you in music? I'm like, well, I love them both. And then it eventually clicked. Like, you know, I mean, a lot of people, you know, they joke with you, like, you don't necessarily need a degree in music unless you're trying to be a teacher or you're trying to be something that requires it, like a professor. But I was like, you know what? I should do sports. And I ended up getting my master's degree in sports management. But music never left me. And it's entertainment. It goes together. Like, I've even played a few national anthems. Like, I played at the Bulls.
Yeah, I saw that. Talk about it.
The Atlanta Hawks. Yeah, like, so I did it on steel drums. I'm trying to come out with better arrangements for the anthems personally, but I think it's just kind of cool when you can mix both genres together, you know? And I think a lot of times, you know, you grow up saying, I want to be something in sports. I want to be something in music. And sometimes people try to steer you the other way. Like, everybody can't be a rapper. Everybody can't be a basketball player, but that's not the only job that you have is sports and music, you know? And so it's different routes that you can go and still be a part of a team. And I think that's what people really want, is to belong to something, you know, have a sense of belonging, a sense of community. And that's what being on a team brings you, whether it's you're playing on a team or whether you watch your favorite team on TV. So I did that for a bit. Always wanted to be on TV, right? If I could go back in time, you'd see me on Nickelodeon doing something, right?
Nice.
As a kid. So I've always tried to figure out how to do this too. So I actually was a stand-in on Empire for a little bit of time. I did that work as well. So pretty much in college, like over like spring break, I would come home and try to pick up some quick gigs, right? Some type of work. And then I realized, you know, Facebook was out then, and before social media hadn't really taken off. And so they would post the jobs on social media. So I was like, oh, I got on set one day and I was like, I could see myself doing this. I was I was just an extra. I was an extra on Chicago Fire, right? I think I was walking by a burning building and they painted my face to be like dirty, like I was coming out of a burning building or something. I was like, I can really get the hang of this. So I just kept doing more of those.
I could paint my face finally, every week.
Right, exactly, right? I met some cool people who've been doing it, kind of learned the background of the industry. I was a stand-in on Empire. I think it was Sharon Carpenter. Excuse me, Sharon Carpenter came. She was a reporter. And then I talked to like the music director. I was like, hey, you know, I'm a musician. Is there a way I can be on this show? This is a music show, right? Mm-hmm. And talked to him for a bit about just some steps to take. I took them and my degree actually helped. And then next thing I know, they called me back twice. Once I was playing in Leviticus or their club they had for this guy that was singing. I think he was like Jamal's partner. And then I got called back again to be to play in a church, which is kind of like where I want to be ultimately, kind of like doing gospel music, but not traditional gospel music, like, you know, more like you hear some on the radio, some dope song, and it's like, oh, that's hot. But if you stop and listen to the lyrics, you maybe not something you want to hear your kids to hear necessarily, you know?
Yeah.
I want to be the opposite. You hear some dope beat and realize it's a positive yeah, message.
Something more modern, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been trying to mix the two back and forth. We'll see where the future takes me.
Now, I do gotta hold your feet to the fire a little bit.
You're talented,
right? You live a dope lifestyle. You got a very prestigious occupation. But I saw you on your Instagram when y'all was going at the Queen, Chaka Khan, when she did the national anthem at All-Star. You can't do that. You can't do that to the legends. You said she was another Fergie. I'm like, damn.
No, did not. You are trying to get me in trouble. No.
I love Chaka Khan, though. I play Chaka Khan for my family. Salute to Chaka Khan. But y'all was ruthless for her, man. She's in her 70s. Why you do it like that, man?
Well, we didn't do it like that. But I think if you were in the stadium.
I'm exactly.
So if you were in the stadium, though, like when, you know, the vibe of the stadium was like, kind of like, what's going on? What's happening? But I think overall, it was more of a fun moment to have. I mean, if you think about it, I could be wrong, but wasn't that like the month before? Not the month before, but it was, wasn't quarantine before that? Or like right after that?
Right
time?
After that. It was right after. That was one of the last, yeah, so that was one of the last like, big events for sure.
Yeah, last big event. So that was like my last big hoorah around Chicago. Mm-hmm. I think we were all just having a good time. But no, the environment in the stadium was like, what's going on? Because everybody was kind of like, oh, here we go. But no, I love soccer. Got to represent that town.
Which one, if you had, so before I ask this, what position did you play when you were hooping?
Shooting guard.
Okay, so you was a two.
For the two. Mm-hmm.
If it came down to doing an arrangement to open either the Olympic Games or the NBA Finals, or it came down to hitting a buzzer-beating shot to win a championship, state, national championship for college, whatever, which one would you rather have?
I would rather have the arrangement, to be honest.
What?
Women, like, yeah, like...
For real?
I would, because, like, don't get me wrong. I get that feeling like she hit the buzzer beater. She did this. But for me, I guess where I'm at now, like I do want a championship. Don't get me wrong. Like I want a ring wherever I'm at. But I think for me, an arrangement would be a little bit better, you know?
How so?
Better.
What would it mean to you? What would it mean to you?
Oh, man. It would just mean a little bit more establishment on the music side. I mean, arrangement, that's like a dream come true to be able to work with another artist or to perform live at the Grammys or some type of opening ceremony. Like, people remember those things, just, you know? So to me, that would just be a dream come true. That, like, before, I mean, I always wanted to be in sports, but it was always a dream of mine to be a performer. So that, hands down, that's just, I would prefer that.
That's crazy. I did not expect.
And it's not something I can't. And yeah, and I mean, buzzer beaters, I mean, depends on how many years you're in the league. But, you know, I think I have more longevity performing as well.
What type of challenges do you face as a female working in sports? Is there Ooh. Something that stands out to you? Not even necessarily happening to you, but something that you mm-hmm. see happening to other women trying to, you know, establish their foothold in the sports realm. What's something that you're observing, not just as a woman, but as a Black woman in the realm of working in professional sports?
Yeah, I think it definitely was harder for women in the past. It's becoming more equal now, especially with all the Me Too movements, the protests, especially all the protests that have happened since quarantine at least, right?
No doubt.
People are finally, you know, making things more equal. But as a woman, it's always been harder, I feel like, especially in like professional sports. And the company I'm with now is great. Like I've never had any like issues on equality. I feel like they do a great job with that. But in past like positions, you know, a lot of women, not just myself, but other women, they feel like they're stereotyped. So if you do want to work in sports, it can be that negative stereotype. Like, I just want to get close to the male athlete. Like you're right. a goofy or something, you know,
right.
It's not the case. Like I watch games just like you do. I could probably talk stats all day better than other men or gentlemen can. Right. So
hit
it's not the case, but you just because you want to be in sports doesn't mean you're trying to just get close to the athletes for no good reason. I think a lot of people have ruined that for women as well, you know, but it shouldn't be a double standard. I think in the past it's been hard for me to like prove myself to people sometimes more so than gentlemen, but I don't think that's limited to sports. I think that's just overall, you know, something that women have been fighting for years. So I think overall that the normal stereotypical issues that women would have, like proving themselves to their male counterparts, are the same things you encounter in sports. But if it is like a male sport, for example, not like women's basketball, but like men's basketball, then sometimes those things can be a little bit heightened. But the last 2 years, though, you're seeing more and more equality, thank God, you know, and more women like paving the way.
Let's talk inspiration, because you can't teach talent. You can't be a lethal two guard and be able to put heels on and rule the boardroom. Who are some of the women, in sports, out of sports, not even just women, just people in general, who are some mm-hmm. of the people that have inspired you to be the best Cassie that you can be in the realm of what you're doing?
Oh, wow. Well, first off, I have to say my grandma. She raised
Shout
me.
Shout to
my
Nana.
Mother.
Shout to Nana. Let me get the applause for Nana.
She's my mom. Yep. She's literally my mom. So, you know, she was always there for me, showing me the route, the way to go. So anytime I get scared or I a bit nervous, I stop and think about her and, you know, get my act together and keep it moving. Her, I would say anything from like players to coaches. Like I had a coach in high school, Corey from Whitney Young. She was always an inspiration. She wouldn't, she would just tell it like it is, you know? And a lot of her advice has always kept me on track, believe it or not. I never told her that, but if she hears this, she'll know.
Coach, what up? Check us out.
But it's been a lot of women. They pretty much just pave the way. You just try to do your best and learn from them. But I would say the main two would be my coach from high school and my mom.
Gotcha. Favorite athlete, favorite musician?
Ooh, Jordan, hands down. Alicia Keys.
That is not bad. That's actually a nice little combo now that I think mm-hmm. about it. Of course, it's Mike, but I like Alicia Keys a lot. Underrated. Even though she's mm-hmm. highly successful, underrated. I think that's a dope mm-hmm. combo. We talk kicks on this show, too. I don't know if you're really familiar with how we get down, but we do this for the sneakerheads, too. And I get jealous sometimes about women getting the super fly colorways, and we kind of have to pay more money for what we get down on. We talked a little bit before the show about your love for sneakers. I know you say you got some grown woman business to take care of before you can dive 2 feet in, but what's some of your all-time favorite kicks? And what's some of the kicks that you got in rotation that you got to have them on an everyday basis? Because for me, growing up, it started from high school. I had to have a pair of white Air Forces and a pair of black Air Force
yep.
ones.
That was me.
That's just how Chicago was. And then yep. once I didn't get Jordans until I got my first job. My brother was kind of spoiled. He kind of kicked his feet and made a fuss and was able to get stuff. We was going to Nike Town and getting his stuff. But I didn't get Jordans until I was able to afford them. And once I got my first job, I was working in a shoe store, and it was off to the races from there. So I'm big on Jordans, but mostly retros, like the stuff that he won championships in, and then a few of the things that stand out to me. So tell me about some of the sneakers that you really into, or some of the ones that you love.
Man, so yeah, I always had Air Force Ones. I think when I moved out here, I realized I had like 10 pairs or something.
So no Chucks in L.A.? No Cortez in L.A.?
No, I got some Chucks, but I have the Bread, the ones, the retro ones. Those are mine. I had those the longest. I had those right before I moved out here, actually. So that's my one pair. I'm working on it. I know some people that are... like my guy has like a million pairs, so I'm working on trying to get some matching ones with him. But other than that, Air Force Ones, Jordans. I used to want foams all the time. I just couldn't get them.
I got
a bunch of
team
Jordans.
What?
Yeah, I like those. I used to like those. Yeah. But I got some team Jordans I play ball in. So that's a different story, but
you're brave to admit that. You're probably the only person in the world to admit that.
I don't care. But no, I want to get some 11s when I can. Nice. That's my next one. I want to get some 11s.
Lit.
And give me some Space Jam. Yeah.
Are you going to check out the Space Jam 2 movie when it drops?
I am. You know, I saw the trailer and it looked really good. I can't lie, it's different. I'm trying to connect. I could be wrong, but son doesn't really want to pursue the same way, and they're having like a fallout. So I think the storyline is interesting. And you know what though, like one thing I have learned, like people spend so much time, quote unquote, like you appreciated Kobe, but you kind of hated on him. You know what I mean? I think people do that a lot for LeBron, but I think one thing with Kobe not being here anymore, it just kind of taught me to appreciate people while they are here. So I'm gonna go ahead and check it out and support him. Like, I mean, we can love to hate LeBron on the court sometimes, but for the most part, he's an excellent person in the community. You know what I mean?
No doubt.
I'm going to go ahead and support the movie.
You are good. You got a real good heart. You a good soul for that one, for sure. Salute to you on that. Don't ask me if I'm going to watch it. Please don't ask me. You're going to get me fired. You're going to get me killed on this show, especially with my calls. He's going to be like, bro, you should go check it out. Before we get out of here, man, this has been a really dope interview. I want you to, one, let people know where they can find you. If you have any upcoming projects, where can they reach out to you to support, to collab? And then also, any advice that you have for the listeners, any young girls that's looking to get into sports or looking to get into entertainment, any parting words of wisdom?
Yeah, a few. Definitely don't give up. That sounds cliche, but it can be done. Like, you can do anything you want. You just have to honestly believe it. I used to hear that all the time, but didn't really internalize it. But it's the truth. If a door is closed, go through a window. Don't ever let anybody tell you no. I've had no a million times, and I've kept going, and I think that's gotten me where I am now. So just be sure about what you want. Even if you're not sure about what you want, just step, and God will make your path. But if anybody needs me, I'm always here to help. I'm always here to be a mentor, just answer any questions. So, you know, feel free to reach out to me on social media or LinkedIn. I'll be more than happy to help.
Where can I hit you at on LinkedIn or social?
Yeah, on LinkedIn, just Cassie Bradley. Instagram, Cassie Marie Bradley.
Gotcha. I appreciate you, Cassie Bradley, joining us on the show. One last question for you. You can choose to answer this. You can choose to plead the fifth. It's not a big deal. How you been keeping up with Snowfall? It's filmed out in L.A. It's based on L.A. How you been checking it out?
I plead the fifth.
Okay, one more. One more for real, for real, for real. What does 420 mean to the city of L.A.? Is it Tuesday that's coming up? It's Tuesday, right? Does Tuesday,
it
420,
is
does that,
up.
Does
oh,
that
wow.
mean anything special to the city of L.A. or no?
Not really, but I played success on that. That's my friend's birthday, so we just tell her happy birthday.
Happy birthday, friend. Please celebrate 420 the right way. You feel what I'm saying? You're welcome back anytime, Cassie. I appreciate you pulling up. Thank you so much. It's been a long time coming, long overdue. I hope it's not the last time we see you. Thank you so much for pulling up.
It won't be. It won't be, man. Anytime. Thank you.
All right, good looks. Appreciate you, Cassie.
Peace.
That's going to do it for the show, man. Appreciate Cassie Bradley for stopping through, chopping it up with the kid for a little while, holding it down for the ladies. Always appreciate it. Can't wait to have her back again. We appreciate y'all for tapping in with us each and every time we do it. Y'all know where y'all can hit us up. We everywhere that podcasts live. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, and many more. Don't forget to hit us up in the mailbag, the hitmenpodcast@gmail.com. Y'all can tap in with us on the socials at the Hitmen Podcast, at Labeled and Known, at Mo_Sal1. It's a short dog episode. The weather's getting nice. Folks is outside, you feel me? So we wanted to leave y'all with something real quick, but we want y'all to enjoy yourselves, be safe. We're going to be back with y'all before too long. But always remember,
what happened here was a miracle, and I want you to f***ing acknowledge it.
All right, it was a miracle. Can we go now?
Go on, holla.
Yeah.